Hi, welcome to PodCypher. I'm your host, Denise Duran.
And I'm Ann Smith.
PodCypher is a space for podcasters to discuss different topics from a podcaster's perspective.
PodCypher is a podcast that focuses on current events, social justice, and pop culture.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to PodCypher. I'm your host, Denise Duran.
And hi, everyone. I'm Ann Smith. It's a pleasure to be here with you, Denise. And we also have a very special guest. She's a friend of the show. Her name is Experience J. She is the phenomenal, the sensational sound designer. She's also the creator of Past Due. And she is one of the funniest people you will ever meet in your entire life. And her reaction videos are like hysterical. Experience J, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on. Yeah.
We are really excited to have you on. And also, for those that don't know, Experience J will be at PodWork, which is our podcast network conference. So please come by. If anything else, if all else you come by, please come on and join us and actually see her on May 21st, okay, and check out her panel discussing like audio and sound design. It's going to be really dope.
Yeah, she's going to be talking about everything that she knows, and she's going to be doing it all by herself, and she was such a good sport when I reached out to her. I'm super excited to have you on. I can't believe it took this long to have you on because you were part of PodWork last year as well. You were part of a panel, and we're just excited to have you. So tell us, what have you been up to? We're missing your reaction videos. When are they coming back?
I've been up to a lot. I'm doing like a few things in fiction and nonfiction, and so like I feel a little spread thin. I've been laying real low because I'm just like, okay, back in 2020, I went through a creative burnout because I was doing too much all at once. So this go around, I was like, I do not want that to happen again. So I've been like, okay, if I have to give something up, and you know, while I'm just trying to get myself together, I'll do that. So like, I love the reaction videos and everything, but like, I just had to kind of take a step back because like my love, the sound design, I'm getting, you know, I'm appreciating being booked and busy, but also being booked and busy, they don't tell you the flip side to that. when, you know, it can be overwhelming. And so like, I enjoy the reaction videos. It started out as my downtime, but now people are requesting it. So it becomes another job, and it's just like, okay. So I had to kind of put that over to the side, but yeah, I'm still working on, I'm actually working on two audio dramas of my own, and just working on other people's projects. I'm excited about a few that are coming up in at the end of 2022 and, you know, into 2023. And like I said, some nonfiction projects like locally and things like that, which people don't know me for a nonfiction thing. So I'm excited to really get started on that too.
No, we're super excited for you. I know that you created Black Audio Dramas Exist, and you're always highlighting, you know, Black creatives in the space of audio dramas. So I've known you as that, and now I've seen the many talents and the many hats that you wear. So we want to ask you the question we've been asking every single guest. Because of the Great Resignation last year in 2021, over 4 million people left their jobs or changed and shifted. And I wanted to know, what are your thoughts on the Great Resignation, and how has that affected your life?
Well, I was one of them. in September of 2021, I left my job. Actually, 2 days before, 2 days after my birthday, I left my job of 13 years. Yeah, something like that. And I just stepped out on faith, which, like, don't get me wrong, I've been thinking about it. Like, if you listen to Past Due, Kina's story is sort of my story. But of course, I'm not as interesting as her. I had to add some additional things in there. But like, the gist of the story, like feeling like you have all this talent and like, you're almost 30 and like, where do I go from here? Like, I don't know, should I stay in this job that's gonna pay me? But I'm kind of like, falling off of my dreams, you know, because I can't focus on that because I have to do this job. And it just got to a point where it was overwhelming. Even like, I stayed at my job as long as I did, because in between there, like I got promotions and stuff like that that made me think, okay, I can do this a little bit longer. They gave me a promotion, I'm making more money, and I still realized I wasn't being fulfilled. And I was like, okay, so it's not the money that's doing it. You know what I mean? It's not because I wasn't making enough money. Now it's I'm making more money, but I'm still like I feel like not fulfilling my destiny or my purpose. And I don't know, sometimes just that feeling alone is like enough to make you just be like, okay, I gotta go. And I kept trying to plan it out, and every time I was planning out my leaving, literally something would happen that would knock it all down. Like I would save up money, and then something big would happen. I'm like, now I have to spend all the my savings on this, or you know, just different things were happening, and I just started to feel helpless. And so I realized at a point where it was just like, no, I don't want you to prepare for this. You just have to jump. And I'm not that person. I like to have my, you know, I's dotted, my T's crossed. But this was one time where I literally had no control over like how it was gonna go. And not to get all spiritual, but God was just like, you're leaving, and I'm not gonna have a follow-up job for you, and you're gonna be okay with that. And I was just like, but you know, and I just did it. And it's been a journey. There's definitely been ups and downs. Some months I'm like, oh, I'm pushing it, you know, I'm getting close. And then, you know, there's always that at the end of the day, like God is like, I got you. And so I've been blessed. Yeah.
That's a beautiful story. Wow. I mean, you're a very spiritual person, and one thing, I mean, there's a lot of things that you know we admire here about you is your creativity and how you are able to take that creativity and mesh it with your spirituality, which is something that you know a lot of people do, but they don't do, or they're not sure how to do it, and you step into both. So that's amazing. Look at you. You're doing what you love. I know Keenan would be proud of you.
I hope so, because like I had to do it first before she, you know, dipped her toe in it and get it done. Yeah,
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
Pastu, I enjoy listening to Pastu. One of the things that I love about it is, you know, the fact that, you know, she works at a daycare, and she works at a, you know, a school, and a lot of the times the interaction that you talked about with a specific coworker is very familiar to me because I substitute teach and I worked at a school, and you have those people who are very tenure, who think they know everything, and it's really funny that part, and just the way that she's all over the place with her dating, but at the same time she needs to focus on her dream. And it's a great, you guys gotta listen to Pastu. It's really great. You know, we're excited to be talking about it. And also you also did talk about the other project that was actually a book and you turned into audio series called Kiss. That's another one that's really great that I listened to. So
Yeah, so
people know about that.
Kiss is based off of a book I wrote with one of my friends called Tomorrow, Seduction, Kiss of Death. And it actually the it's so funny because it started out as like something that happened when we were in like from middle school going into high school, and we just kind of started discussing that situation, and then it turned into like a what if. So we had this whole
Wow.
story that turned into a what if, and then we were like, we should make it a book. And then we're like, okay. And then from there, it was like, but something's missing. It feels too kind of like, you know, cutesy or whatever, or like, you know. And so I was like, well, what if she was a serial killer on the low? And, you know, we just kind of started to build off of all of that. And that's how the book was created. But fast forward to Kiss. And I still have plans to make Tomorrow Seduction into a movie, like in the future, not right now. I got too much going on, but I do plan on making it into a movie or even a TV series. But of course, you think of how do I get this out now? I feel like people will want to hear it and can relate to it or will enjoy it. And so I was like, after doing Past Due, I was like, what can I do next? You know, something that will be totally separate from Past Due that people will be like, wait, you did both of those? That doesn't even make sense. And so I was like, oh, okay, we could take it and kind of break it down. So, if you read the book, it's the same kind of characters and things like that, but it's not exactly the same. So you could read the book and listen to, you know, the audio drama and have a totally different experience.
Yeah, I know. I love the fact that What I like about your work, and a lot of times you have a lot of moments in these audio dramas that you put the realistic sexuality into it, and that those type of that oomph. Specifically, obviously with Tomorrow, you know, she's a beast. So, but I enjoy the sound effects, the all of that stuff that really, the kissing scenes, the body heat that you can hear in a lot of these, the audio drama that you produce is important because it's all, you know, all it's not visual, it's all auditory. So when you're reading a book, like back in the day, those weird like Jackie Collins novels with like Fabio on it, and you're like imagining it, you're bringing those sound effects that people are thinking in their head. So those are one of the things that I feel like that made it distinct, specifically with a lot of the things that happened with Tomorrow. I don't want to give it away, but I really enjoy your work, and I'm super proud of you. I'm so happy that all these doors are opening up for you because you work hard and you deserve it. And you know,
Thank
I,
you.
anything that you want, I know that you've always talked about getting it, and that's something important to you, and we support that. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and we because for a lot of people, as you know, like it sound design is just like a real art. It's like an art and a science to it because you have to make people believe you. Like you, like Denise said, you can't see people and what's going on. You have to make people feel as if they're right there in the room. And we've heard like the different sound design collaborations you've done with other creators as well, just to make it even believable. Like the click clacking of like footsteps, just the different like the transference from people going from room to room. Like it's a real art. It's if you know you're like living and breathing in the moment. Like what's for those that are trying to get into it, what would you say is like a tip that you would like offer them without giving too much away before the event? I know, but
A tip. Let me think. Honestly, I feel like you have to have a love for sound. I know that, like, theoretically, you can go and you can learn anything and do it, but I feel like in order to do it well, you have to have some type of love for it. Like, I can sit up and do sound design for hours, and not just because well, one side is because I am anal and I want to make sure that I'm enjoying it. You know what I mean? But the other side of that is that I love sounds. I love manipulating the ear because I've used sounds that were totally separate and made people believe they were something else by the way that I put it together. So it's really about being able to throw sounds together. And like you said, that's an art. There's an art to that, being able to kind of just put certain sounds together and just the way it flows and all of that. Like it is an art. I agree with that. So I feel like you first have a love for it. If you don't love to do it, don't do it. Because hire somebody because you're really not gonna give it your all, and I feel like it's gonna fall short. I can always tell when somebody just did their sound design because they didn't have a choice. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have a choice, I completely understand. I've been there. That's how I got into it. But even for hearing my stuff, how I've progressed, I could tell before, you know, like the difference. You know what I'm saying? Like there has to be something that drives that for me. Now, if you just want to do your sound design because you don't have any other choice or because, you know, whatever, that's fine. But I feel like it's really gonna pop. If you're looking for why it doesn't feel, why it's not resonating, it's because you don't love it yet. You gotta love it because those 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hour sessions, that's gonna test your love for real. That's gonna test it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you stay up all night working hours on something, especially getting, there's been times where like, I want to get something so right, like I will not move on from it, and that can be frustrating, you know. And even stepping away and coming back, like I just heard this thing like 345 times. I can't do it anymore. But like, that's what there has to be that love there. Because if you don't love it, then you're like, just forget this. I don't know. Just put it out any kind of way. But when you really have a love for it, and you know, it makes me happy. Like anytime I listen to something from start to finish, specifically, I will say most recently, Santa Baby, because that was my first project off of my creative burnout. Like, I'm so proud of that. I don't even care about the little mis and I hear the little mistakes. I don't even care. I'm like, that thing is great. You know, like I did it. I was able to do it. And that love brought me back. I was able to sit down and just piece it all together. And the way it just came together so seamlessly, and it resonated with people, even though it's literally about somebody, going around dressed as Santa murdering people, and murdering Santas and stuff like that. Like, you wouldn't think that people would be like, really into it. I've gotten so many compliments on that. And
I reached out
again,
to you about that one too. I was
it...
like, this was it was good, and I don't want to give it away, the twist too. And you're like, oh, okay, this makes sense. This is why this is happening. I do think that you hit all the points. You do have to love, because it sounds like it's a lot of work,
It is.
right? It is,
I
right?
don't even recommend it. If you don't love it, don't do it. I don't even recommend that.
No, I've heard some of the stuff you've done for like Yanni and everything,
Yes.
and like that stuff is impeccable. Okay, I feel like
Yeah.
I'm right in the room with each character,
That's
and I'm
right.
just like, what's going on? What's happening next? And like, it's just so cool to like hear it, because like Denise knows, like I grew up like with those long commutes with my mom and brother, like going back and forth from Jersey City, back home and everything. And I'm like into radio, and I love hearing like the different like talk radios, and like just like grew up listening to audiobooks and stuff a lot, especially when they have like those moments. So like it's really cool to like see, like it's really cool to hear like scripted like audio dramas and just see all of this like come to life, and you can imagine how things are like playing out in your head, and you bring that to life, and it is amazing. So basically the takeaways are, if y'all love it, do it. But it's going to take a good amount of work. But with whatever you love, nothing amazing is like easily attained. And if you don't love to do sound design, call Experience J.
Yes, I love that.
Yes. Oh, I know that you're a Virgo, so I know I'm surrounded by Virgos. I love Virgos. My son's a Virgo, and I know that it's like a perfectionist thing that you guys kind of aim for. Things have to be a certain way. My son is 4, and he wants things a certain. No, mommy, you did it. It's not the right way. And I'm like, boy. He's like, no, mommy. And I'm like, and he's September 8th, so I know you're a September Virgo too. So, but wait, the first. So Anne's mom is a Virgo too. My father and my mother-in-law are Virgos. My brother's a Virgo.
Oh, wow, you're surrounded by
One of my maid of honors in my wedding, I'm getting married, who's my cousin, she's a Virgo. And I know that you guys give a lot, but when you shut down and you go in, you take a break and you disconnect. So I'm happy that you were able to take that break. I'm happy that you have what you have, and you created Santa Baby, and look at everything for you now. That's an amazing, journey, because burnout is real. Because Anne and myself, we were there last year after pod work, after masters and all that. I was like, I'm done. I didn't even want to hear podcasts. I was like that for a good 4 months. I was like, I don't want to hear. Right, Anne, me and Anne talk. Hey, how you doing? Hey, we're like, okay, because it was just so much that we want to do, especially us being women of color. We take on so much, and we don't take care of ourselves. And I feel like now we have to take care of ourselves and say no to certain things that don't are not going to resonate with us, right? So, but yeah, that's an interesting journey, and super excited about everything you're doing. So you're doing this full time, and I know that I wanted to talk about this too. I know that you've also created a new product, and I know that you also have a love for spirituality. So can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came about? Because you and I had a couple of conversations, and I wanted to talk to you about that. So tell everybody what you have as well, because she's a multi-hyphenate. Oh, real quick, and she sings. She's you write your own
I will
music,
sing. Well, listen,
music.
okay. I sing is a stretch. I don't sing,
You
but
harmonize, you harmon but you write your own music, and you
yeah, I
created
do.
music and produced. If you
I
sang, I would be like, man, you like Donald Glover. All you gotta do is act. Because you know how Donald Glover sings. No, but yeah, you produce a lot of the music that were in past due, some of those songs and some of the stuff that you had. I remember that, and in conversations. But yeah, tell everybody about your spiritual journey and different things, and a product that you just came out with recently. What I thought is very interesting that you created this.
Well, so it's a my spiritual journey is a very, very long story. We don't have enough time to go there, but I will say that like the last few years I've been like, when you have a gift and you don't really know what to do with it, you know what I'm saying? And so for one, writing and being creative have always come naturally to me, and I've always found a way to be able to do that seamlessly, you know what I mean, without having to be like, okay, what can I do? I can always pick up a pen and start writing. My spirituality and my gifts that I have spiritually, they hit me a little different, to where even today I still, it's a different type of imposter syndrome. I can't, and that will go, that's a whole nother story too, but like, kind of being like, no, this is not real. Is this real? And going through years of that, and then finally stepping into like, no, you do have certain spiritual gifts, and it's not just supposed to be kept for you. You know what I mean? It took me a long time to get to the point where I was always like, my spirituality is for me. You know, that's the one thing that I hold sacred and private and all of that. And I do still believe that to a certain extent, but just the last few years, I've just gotten like confirmation that it's time to share it with people. And so I do dabble in tarot also, which if you come from a Christian background, and trying to go from that into, you know, different types of spirituality, it can be a little weird for you, because I grew up hearing like those are the devil's cards, you know what I mean? And hearing things like that scare you out of, you know, that type of stuff. And so even when I was like doing my research and just like just trying to elevate and just, you know, learn more about different religions and practices and all of that stuff. A lot of times in Christianity, you're told like if you do that, that's going against God, or if you do this, it's, you know, evil, or it's witchcraft, or it's this or that. And even the word witchcraft is seen as being something that's negative, you know, when it comes to like the Christian faith. So I struggled with that for a long time, knowing I don't feel like God would give this to me if it was supposed to be, you know, if it was evil, you know. I don't feel like all of these gifts that are coming through, and then even with using tarot and things like that, like for me, it's just a method of channeling the messages, you know. Because today I get messages through songs, I get messages through pictures. I don't need tarot. But it's like one of those things that when I do, like, it's like channeling, you know? So it's been a journey. It's been a journey. So I want to say last year, I was moved to kind of create my own like oracle cards, because I was seeing so many oracle cards, but like sometimes you need tough love. For me, I need that tough love. I don't want you to always say it to me in a parable or poetic way. I am black and white sometimes. I just need you to just give it to me straight. So I created some oracle cards called Sip Some Truth Serum, and I just released it a few months ago. I've been testing this out for a few years. I have like 5 different versions, and finally when I got it to where I wanted it, I was like, okay, now I can kind of put it out there and things like that. So yeah, I'm very excited about those. And then I also created a Shufflemancy deck. So Shufflemancy is basically like when you get messages through music, you can put on any type of playlist or whatever and just shuffle it, and then the songs that come on, you kind of channel it. So I've been doing that for a while too, but then I was like, okay, what if I put that into like a deck? So I was just trying to figure out how to do that and to make that work, and I was eventually able to do that. So I have that deck also, where I took songs that I heard and just jotted messages, you know, and put them on the card. So I'm excited about both of those.
That kind of, oh, hi. That sounds really interesting. Like, so what kind of prompt you to do that? Like, I know you say you've always been like a spiritual person. Have you always been like doing this, or is it does it like running your family in a sense, or like what kind of prompt you to get into this? Do you have like an advisor that like told you that maybe suggested it to you?
Well, not specifically an advisor, but I've had a few people say, like, you know, this is what I see you doing. And it wasn't them just telling me that. It was kind of like I would always see people who would kind of give me that confirmation. Like, I'll already get the message that this is what you need to do. Dreams, different, like I said, I get messaged through songs and you're like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And then someone will come up and be like, yeah, you know, XYZ. And I'm like, oh, that was confirmation that this is what I need to be doing. As far as my gifts, like I have a little bit of clairvoyance. It comes through like dreams and things like that. And that was, I feel like that's been passed down through my mom because we like ever since I was little, like I can like literally say her dreams back to me, you know, back to you right now because I heard them so many times and just how things would happen in her dreams, like she would have dreams and then they would come to pass in a different kind of way, but it would still happen. And so once that started to happen to me, I was like, oh man, like, wait, is that real? Like, did that really just happen? You know, so I have very vivid dreams and things like that. But the clairaudience, I feel like that came later. I've always been really into music, so I think it was just a natural transition. But like, I can remember one of the first times, like, I was listening to a song and like a lyric or a verse stood out, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, like, is that a message? And then just, you know, really resonating with it. So yeah, I think that's one of the newer ones. But also just the gift of knowing. I since I was younger, and this might even be a Virgo thing, like I was always like, oh, you think you know everything, you miss know it all, blah, blah, blah. But it would be like, no, I really do. I can't explain to you how I know, but I just know. And you know, people don't take it like, oh, she thinks she this and that. And like growing up and then realizing, oh, that's a gift. And like realizing that just changed me in so many ways. Cause I really, sometimes I would battle with that, like not say something that I know because I feel like that someone is gonna be like, oh, she thinks she know everything, or you know, but within I really would know it. You know what I'm saying? So it took me a long time to get to the fact that like I had gifts. And not just sitting on them, not, you know, certain things that even today I look back on and be like, that's what that was. You know what I mean? But again, I feel like everybody has certain gifts, but I feel like circumstances and, you know, whatever make you kind of muffle them for whatever reason, especially as kids. Sometimes not just talents and not just gifts, but, you know, dreams and you know aspirations, they're kind of silenced as kids, and the adults around us don't even recognize it all the time, you know. So yeah, that happens really young.
Yeah, it can be very powerful. Like a lot of the things that you're saying, especially with like dreams and things of that nature, like that's how, and that's why, you know, it's kind of, it's not like annoying, but like it kind of is annoying because it's like, you know, there are people that are like spiritual advisors in like holy texts in like the Bibles and certain things people read. So it's like they've always been there, but there are people that, you know, give it like a negative, like there is a stigma attached to it with certain things. But like it's all throughout our history, all throughout different religions as well. So it's nothing new. And especially through dreams, like a lot of communication is done through dreams, and there's a lot of different interpretations. That's why you have dream journals. That's why you have different dictionaries as well to kind of like guide you through certain things, because what you dream isn't like necessarily like verbatim what it is, you know what I'm saying? And there's also like things like lucid dreams and certain things that you want to like take into consideration that are on your mind and on your heart. Like me and my friends, we have this conversation all the time about like we always talk about our dreams. It's like, because it's important to know why you're dreaming it and also like certain things. But you know, it's really great that you're aware of that talent, because that honestly can be, you know, it's very powerful. And honestly, like it might be interesting to like people, but like, you know, some adults, it can be very scary, honestly, because you know, you could be right and you're right and your mom's been right about stuff. So it's probably scared people. Like they probably made y'all feel like the Bruno of the family. Which is, so it's a lot of power. But yeah, it's important to definitely like showcase your talents and express it to the world when you can. Don't be afraid to. Yeah, so just
I think that's
like,
courageous.
yeah, I
Courageous
think it is
to
very
say that, yeah.
courageous.
Because some people are ashamed or feel guilty or because of their background. And you know, it's so funny you mentioned a Virgo thing because we always joke with my son, he's 4 because he's really smart. And his my fiance's family's from Belize, but they have like a Caribbean accent. So they're Black Belizean. So they're like, "Oh, Logan know everything. Logan know everything." And now when you say certain to him, I said, "How do you know?" He's like, "I know everything, mommy. I know. I know." And I'm like, "No, you don't. You're still learning." He's like, "I do." And then, honestly, there's sometimes that he do be right, and I'm like, "He is right though." But do I affirm him or do I, you know, take that
Yes.
away? And I said, "Baby, you know what? You are right, but you still need to learn more. It's always good to keep open and learn more." He's like, "You're right, mommy." Instead of saying, "No, you don't know everything," and you know, because he's such a Virgo to the T. My God, exactly that. And he's like, "I know, mommy. I know." I'm like, "You know." He's like, "I know everything," but it's because we always say that to him.
You
His
say it,
grandmother,
yeah.
yeah. They're like, "Oh, Logan knows everything." Logan, because he always would hear things. He would talk about certain things, like, "Oh, you know, I heard someone say this." And I'm like, "Wait, how did he hear that?" And it's so funny because you made a really great point. As kids, a lot of times parents miss these specific reasons, specific things, because they're very busy. Or, "Oh, he's a kid. He's just imagining." But sometimes you want to affirm it, because sometimes these kids have these memories and that sticks with them forever. You know, I know that we all can say this one thing we remember that might have hurt our feelings at a very young age that might have changed us, like a little trauma, just a little trauma. We call it little tease. And you're like, "Wait a minute. Oh my God, I probably don't speak up because I was yelled at that one time in front of everybody in class and they said I talked too much. So I'm not going to say anything." Little things like that. So yeah, I know it's vital. But yeah, I always try to affirm him and like say, "Okay, yeah, baby, you do, you know, you're right. Sometimes you can be wrong, but you're right. But you know, you still have to learn." He's like, "Okay, mommy," because kids take things literally, I feel. They're very literal. Like you say, what they're gonna listen to you to the T. They're not like us at our age that we can decipher, okay, you know, read between the lines. They don't read between the lines.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And it's always important to like keep, it's good that he is knowing he has that, you know what I'm saying? Like he's growing in his discernment and in his spirituality, and he's aware. Logan is very self aware. For those who don't know, Logan is very self aware. Okay. Which is beautiful. It's important to always, he is hilarious. And the important thing is, you know, you are right. Cause he be knowing, Logan be knowing. But it's important to also continue to want to know and want to learn. And that was honestly part of the reason for our next topic. So that was part of the reason as to why this creator of this partnership with Google, the Dr. Carl Mack, he is the publisher of the Black History Heritage Day calendar, and he has helped create this comprehensive flip calendar that highlights over 366 notable African Americans and African American accomplishments, and more than 500 million people can get a daily dose of Black history utilizing Google Assistance. So because of the wanting and the desire to know about different African American facts and African American history, and you know how it is a part of American history, he helped create this initiative that teaches people about everyday Black flat facts. And I was like looking at this because I did notice on my Google today, they had the amazing Elijah McCoy. He is a Canadian American inventor. So he's an African American inventor as well. And he received his first patent for an automatic lubricating device in 1872, and previously engines had to be stopped before necessary lubrication could be applied, but his invention allowed engines to be lubricated while they ran, saving precious time and money. So because of, you know, this amazing inventor who's of African American descent, you know, we don't have to stop in the middle of the street and lubricate our machines and then keep going. So I just found this very interesting because you always see like these different updates during Black History Month, but it's very refreshing and interesting to see this, you know, on May 2nd during tourist season. So, and they put this out because this is his, yes. So want to just, you know, shout out Elijah McCoy, the late and the great Elijah McCoy, and say, you know, happy birthday to him. And thank you for automatic lubrication.
I'm happy they're doing this. And they're going to feature this, what, every day? Or is it just how?
It's like, So it's basically just you can honestly like look up and ask Google Assistant like each day what happened on this day, what happened on that day.
Wow, that's really
But they
cool.
did it specifically because I believe, yeah, because it's his birthday today.
Oh, that's so cool.
So they
I'm
wanted to
happy about
highlight
that.
him. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of I didn't know about this inventor, by the way. I know
Me
about
either.
it. Yeah, I never heard of him. I know there's an inventor because I know this has to do with obviously lubrication with steam and you know kind of transitioning to automobiles. But there's a lot of inventors that people don't know about. There's one that I mention all the time because he's the one of my friends that was his grandfather. His name is Meredith Gordine. He invented the catalytic converter for cars, and he won a Nobel Peace Prize. And he's from Jersey. From Newark, so that's one person that I'm hoping. I'm trying to look him up. I was like, if they feature him, because a catalytic converter is important. That shit goes on your car is over. That costs money.
Exactly. No, and I always love to talk
And a
about
black
Lewis
man did it.
Latimer. Yeah,
This man Elijah.
I always love to talk about Lewis Latimer because he created the filament in the light bulb. So,
Oh,
yeah. So I always
I
love to
didn't know
like
that.
highlight him and talk about him because they always like talk about Thomas Edison, this and that when it comes to electricity, but I'm like, without him, we wouldn't have the light bulb. So
Right.
we wouldn't have
I was gonna.
catalytic
That's a good one.
converters
That's a good
without
one.
Meredith. We wouldn't have
Yeah.
catalytic converters and we wouldn't have like light bulbs and we wouldn't have automatic lubrication, without people.
Were you gonna say something, Experience?
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, I was gonna ask if they were gonna feature like all types of people, like even the people we don't know. 'Cause I feel like oftentimes when, we hear Black History Facts, it's cut and paste the same, people. So it's good to kind of like, I want to be informed, it's so like even the little bit of Black history that I did learn, like, there's always more,
No,
No,
they
you're right.
do. Yeah. They so it says that from the article I read, he will feature not just like inventors, it's like a bunch of different like African American notable people and like different accomplishments. So it could be in science, it could be in the arts, it could be in like a number of different things.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, just wanted to highlight that. 'Cause
Yeah.
it's always cool to like hear about one of these days they're gonna have Experience Day on here for
Yes.
sure with the way she's revolutionized sound design as well.
That would be dope.
Yeah, I mean,
So
there's so many different things that we don't know about, and I understand the cut and paste. It's kind of like not that we don't appreciate the Sojourner Truth and the Elaine Lockhart. It's just that
right.
we want to know about more because there's so many more. And you know what? I recently I didn't even I wanted to share this. So there was I don't know how I found this. I was having a conversation with my father, who's a Virgo, who wants he wants to know all, right? Knowledge. He's always constantly. So he sent me this article saying that there was a Dominican man who was a Tuskegee Airman by the name of Esteban Hostes, and he was one of the Dominican-born Tuskegee Airmen, and he died during the time of the 19 I think 1945, and he served, and he was a Dominican revolutionist, was all for rights and lived in the United States. And I never knew that. I'm like, what? And if you see the picture, I'm gonna send this to you, like, oh, he looked Dominican. You're like, kind of, you can see that countryside Dominican look. But you wouldn't know this, right, if we didn't have the internet and we didn't have these different things that we were like, I don't know how he found this out. And I was like, really? I've never heard of this. But yeah, I mean, you just want to be able to know things and that you don't know about. So, look, I just put it on there. Pull it up, and you're like, "What?" Yeah, his name is Esteban, I guess, Spanish for Steve. So yeah, I was just like, "Wow." But yeah, I mean, this is cool. I'm definitely gonna do the Google Voice Assistant. I want to find out about other inventors that we're not talking about. So that was pretty interesting. But yeah, another thing we wanted to talk about. So we started on a good note. We want to talk about a lot of other trends and different things because a lot of us, I know we've been busy and we both talked about before the show, I guess not being as much online, just doing different things that we have to do. There's been some stuff in the works. So I don't know if you guys saw a clip that was floating around. I think about a week and a half ago where they show Kanye West and during the Kardashian reboot on Hulu, that he, came to Kim with all the sex tapes and all the copies of the recordings, and everybody was so happy about Kanye. being able to return the sex tape, because apparently in one of the Roblox ads that her son was playing, an ad came up about the sex tape, and it, you know, destroyed her, right? This is her son, you know, obviously he's like, you know, he's what I which I think it was Saint, wasn't it? The older one.
Yeah, it was Saint. He was playing the Roblox game and she had seen him on it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we saw this clip and we're like, okay, you know what? There's been so much going on with Kanye, and it's things kind of watered down. And then, you know, she was happy. It was a whole big thing. And then we have Ray J chimes in. Did you guys hear about Ray
Yeah.
J chiming in, saying that that wasn't true, that that never happened? But I'm just sitting here like scratching my head, because Kanye spoke about this exchange because of the guy, I think WAC 1000, WAC 100, who actually talked about having the tape. And Ray J didn't say that's not true, right? He never came out, but as soon as the clip comes out, everybody's kind of like, you know, over it, it's water under the bridge. Here come Ray J, saying that is not true. What you think? You think it's true or not? You think that, I mean, come on, there gotta be some copies out there. Let's be real. People be burning and keeping stuff and down. There's a copy still there. I don't think that they've got all of it, but Ray J gonna come and say that it ain't true. What do you guys think about that whole sex tape issue and this whole?
I mean, I don't care about this issue, but
Right?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's like for me, somebody telling me they got everything back. Like I think the idea probably was genuine and good, and like he really thought he probably saved the day. But like, there's no way you can 100% be sure that that was the only thing. Like all you need is a flash drive, and you know. They might have burned the VHS or the CD or the, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't, there's always a chance. Like, even if they did, like who made copies of it for you? 'Cause like, what, where was the original? Where did they get it from? Like, you have to know all of that stuff before you know that you got the last of it.
It's just funny to me that he said that all is a lie is untrue. Ray J is just so funny to me at times, because he always inject he inserts himself in certain situations that you're like, just let it go. It is what it is. You're not going to be sure. I mean, come on, there's things that I've t removing, and I know we've removed pictures and stuff off the internet that we might put up our name, and it's still up there, some image somehow somewhere. So how is this video not there? I mean, I don't know. I just found it funny that he was just going under Hollywood Unlocked. This is untrue. I'm tired of them lying. And it's like, I mean, we know how they
I think
do.
it's I think it's more so not necessarily the tape specifically, but I think how they're making it seem like it went down. I think that's what he's more so referring to. You know, because even like there was another thing like right before this happened or right after, I can't remember, where Kim was saying there was no additional tape. So how can you say that there was nothing additional, but then come back and say, like, be crying that Kanye went and got all this stuff? Like they were saying, oh, the only additional parts were like us walking to something, like it was supposed to be non-sexual. So which one is it? Like, why are you crying if you know in your heart ain't no part two and that was it? What you crying for? Because unless they just like put your face over somebody else's body, you know what I mean? Like, what else could there be unless you're not being honest about something? And I think that's probably more so what he means as far as not being honest. It's probably it goes deeper. And then even how they're trying to like flip this to make it seem like it was all Ray J.
I mean, geez, that was a long time ago, that sex tape. I mean, that's what kind of entered her into the
That made
world of fame.
her like, let's not, that made her.
Right. Entered her into the
Let's
world of
not,
fame. Yeah, that was it. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, that's what we didn't know. I didn't know who she was before that. So, what are your thoughts,
I mean,
Ann?
I saw her with Paris Hilton, but that was
Right.
it.
That was it. I knew of Paris Hilton because, you know, she was the person, she was the heiress, and they hung out. I did not know Kim Kardashian until people like told me about her, until I like saw her and her family, and it was primarily like, oh, she was famous for a sex tape, and now she has all these brand deals, and like her mom and her were able to like flip it and like get her all these deals and this reality show and everything else. Like really, it was just her dad that was famous, if anything, out of like the whole family because of the OJ case and his involvement in it. So I didn't know them before. I didn't know her before the sex tape, but I get where Ray J is coming from in a sense, because you're still talking about it to your point experience, Jay. It's making it seem like with Kanye saying it's, oh, I got it all back from him from this laptop and there was this exchange. It's making it seem as if he had had it the whole time. He knew exactly where everything was. He had orchestrated it. It's making her seem like she's been exploited, like she's been the victim and everything of it. And it's like they both have, like, you know, made claims like they don't know what happened. They don't know on both sides, like, you know, how this whole thing got out. So it's kind of throwing him under the bus. And he's got kids at the end of the day, regardless of whether you love Ray J, you hate Ray J, whatever, at the end of the day, it's like, why does Kim have to be spared and everything versus Ray J? They were both involved. They both, you know, received a lot of like hit and push back and stuff. Like, honestly, I knew Ray J before I knew Kim. Ray J, no, like real talk. Cause like Ray J was, had been acting. He'd been doing music, all these other things. So it's more tarnishing, it tarnishes his reputation even more because he's more like a child star, R&B star. Like he does have that sex appeal. So he was like in R&B technically, but like he technically was like this, he was on the sitcom Moesha. So it more so like it's kind of tarnishing his like reputation in a sense to have the sex tape out, especially because his family don't play that. So it's kind of hurtful to him and his family in a way. But like it's also hurtful to her family, but also at the same time, like her family's made money off of it. So I get where he's coming from.
Yeah, they exploited it.
Yeah. So
let's be clear. Like Ray J didn't get popular after the sex tape. I mean, he got Ray J of Love, but that, I mean, he didn't get popular. Yeah. You know, like Kim is the only one who really came up, you know, from this.
She did. Ray J of Love. Oh, that was a disaster. I only laughed at what Ann said because she's like, oh, he's been doing stuff, you know, back in the day. And it made me think about the song that wait a minute, ain't that Brandy's brother?
Brandy's brother, song? Yeah.
And yeah, he was the known person. It's just funny to me that, you know, I know that you guys are right. It's just like, all right, why is it being played up like this then? You know, he's saying it's untrue. What's the issue? What's going on?
Exactly.
I feel like they planted it. I feel like some of the stuff, like he probably, because the way his mom is, their momager Sonia, like I don't believe, like I feel like she probably nipped that in the bud in day one, and so, or attempted to, like come to Chris as a woman, like, all right, let's settle this between our family, you know what I'm saying? I don't, because they're so private, I think their mom probably went and tried to clear it up day one. I feel like the Kardashians was like, yeah, we're gonna pretty much ride this way. We're gonna ride this way because we see, you know, what's happening. But I don't feel like just the way, you know, Sonya is in general, just the perception, the fact that I even know that her name is Sonya, because she's so notorious as Brandy and Ray J's mom. Like she did not play. I remember seeing her on TV like, yo, she does not play. So I don't feel like, I feel like she would have went right away and tried to get this under control because she had like the little perfect TV kids and one of them is doing porn. Like, oh, hell no. Like, I feel like she would have tried to nip it in the bud. The only reason why this is still playing out because I feel like Chris tried to manipulate it. You know, she's a momager too, but she will exploit her kid. Mm.
She took advantage of that situation and they got money out of it. Now they have all these different brands and that they have
their variety because of it.
Because Sonya don't play that at all. Okay. Like for those that have seen Sonya in action, she doesn't play about any of her kids at all. She was very, because of like what you said, they were these TV kids first. And, you know, you can transition into being an adult and different types of content, but you're not going to go straight to, like, porn and trashiness. Also, in terms of this whole, like, I got all the copies, this thing has been on all the XX and XX.coms. It's been on the Pornhubs. It's been on all of these other, like, sites that have, like, pornographic material. So I'm
Not to
pretty
mention
sure
people who download it
people who
themselves.
download it, and then also people rip videos a lot of time, which is why like a lot of sex workers
Yeah.
now, they're going to places like OnlyFans in certain areas to make sure that whatever embedded, like the way that everything is embedded, it protects their videos from being ripped and actually taken down. So that way people aren't then uploading it and making money off of their content. So like there's a chance it's still out there at the end of the day. It's probably on someone's file, like y'all said, like so on someone's DVD, on someone's CD, it's probably on someone's laptop.
Somebody got a
Somebody
bootleg copy. There's a bootleg. Remember that was
That's
back when the bootlegs was out.
bootleg. Yeah.
2007,
Someone's probably
2008,
already.
people were. And it's on somebody's like bot username,
Not
and
to,
they're getting
I
money
mean,
for it.
not to mention, I'm pretty sure if we Google right now, we could find a place that will show us
Yeah.
that sex tape. You know what I'm saying? And even with OnlyFans, like we have the screen record today. So all you gotta do is screen record and crop and boom. So nothing is protected, you know? You might be able to sue them or whatever, but still, like that doesn't stop them from, spreading it. And who are you, like, you're Kim Kardashian. Who you gonna sue that many people, these little no-name people who start spreading it again? And the fact that you're even like, here's the thing that I don't get. You're talking about this, which brings a whole new generation of people who knew nothing about the tape
Right.
into play. People who
You're
are about
right.
to turn 18, 21, and like, oh, now I got to get my hands on it so I can see it. So you're bringing a whole new generation into this sex tape talk where all you had to do is just shut up about it. And it would have, like, for a long time, people stopped talking about it because they had built a brand that was outside of that. Whatever you feel about them, they were able to kind of escape that. But to bring it all up again, like, are you dumb? Why would you start talking about this again? It just rehashes everything,
Exactly. Also, I
Your
just
husband's
feel like at
daughter's
the end of the day,
big
kids
too.
are gonna your their kids aren't the only ones that are on Roblox. The kids are talking about it at school. Maybe there's like, I don't know, maybe there's like some NDA or something they're making kids sign at the special private schools they go to. I don't know. But like kids are still gonna like find ways to like discuss it at the end of the day. The best thing you could have done in that situation as a parent is just get in front of it, have a conversation with your kids about being on the internet and content like that and how you regret it and all this other stuff. And just leave it at that. 'Cause at the end of the day, they're gonna get their hands on it regardless.
Just be straight up about it.
Right. Oof, well, on another note, I know you guys, I know you're in Maryland, right? In the DMV area, right? Yeah, and yeah, so is Anne. Anne is actually getting her master's at Howard. So
Oh, what's
she's,
up? Congrats.
yeah. The reason I'm talking about this is because weed has been legalized in New Jersey. I don't know what the stance is in Maryland. I don't know if that's something that's coming over there, but it's been a big talk in the last few weeks, especially because there's a bunch of dispensaries here. And one of the things that I see New Yorkers, are traveling to New Jersey, but not so many as we expected because the dispensaries are not accessible to the train areas and the path. And we know a lot of New Yorkers, specifically people from Manhattan, don't usually have cars because of parking and just high rent, and just there's nowhere to place these cars. So there's been a lot of talks about New York kind of becoming the next state. What are your thoughts about legalizing marijuana, or if you've seen that happening in Maryland since you're of the state, or is that something that you think that you don't see happening soon?
Well, I'm not a true Marylander. I've only been here like almost 2 years, so I don't
Okay.
know nothing about what's going on here in that aspect. I know they, DC, they
Yeah.
did that, but I mean, I don't mind it. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. They're gonna make money off of it regardless, and by they, I mean the government. So
Yeah, no. And the reason I brought this up is because there was a couple of articles that came out more recently saying that New Yorkers were complaining that they do come out to Jersey, because New Yorkers hate coming out to Jersey, and they, and talk about, driving out here, but they came out here for the dispensaries, but they're not as close. Like obviously there's a one of there's one dispensary opening Hoboken, and in Jersey City, but it hasn't happened yet. It's opening this spring, maybe in the next few weeks, but I know that that will be more easy for people to commute if you are into the path or driving the train. So I just thought, I was like, why they don't open a dispensary in the train station? Why they don't have something accessible right there? They can just come in and out, don't have to really step foot in New Jersey because they're complaining about having to go to different towns. I mean, I don't know. I don't know when New York is going to legalize it, but I know that it's been insane here. It's been crowded. A lot of, yeah, it's like last weekend, there was lines and lines, and people are out here excited about this. And I'm here for it, you know?
Yeah, people going all the way out to Secaucus, but it's a lot. That's max. Because
Yeah, no, just.
for it's too much. I mean, if you can get there by train, maybe, and you always have to go back to like Newark Penn at that point. So it's just a lot for people to do in terms of like commuting just to get weed. I mean, yeah, you just have to make the trip count, I guess. Also,
Right,
they're getting rid.
get enough.
Yeah, also, you gotta make sure you bring your reusable bags because now NJ has this like law and stuff going out where like you can't use plastic bags and paper bags and stuff. So that's coming out like soon. I think it's the 4th of
Yeah, this
May.
Wednesday, May 4th, yep.
Yeah.
So that's another
So
thing.
you gotta make sure you, if you're stocking up, bring your own bag because they're not gonna give you one.
They not. No, I just wanted to bring that. No, for real. I wanted to bring that up because I just feel like there's so many changes happening. And just seeing, like, you know, if you were familiar with anything that's happening in your area, if that's something that's happening, because I feel like I don't know. I'm not sure, but it's if it's happening in New Jersey, it's happening in other states, you know, little by little, I feel like it's going to be legalized more and more so because it's just, I spoke about this previously. A lot of the money is going back to different zones here in New Jersey that have trouble economically. That's what the promise is. Let's hope that does happen. But I think it's a good thing. But it was just a lot of complaint I saw on Twitter or people writing articles about, oh, I'm just coming to Jersey, but it's a bit of a mission. You know, it's not as easy as coming from Manhattan. I'm like, okay, just make that at a train stop, make it a block away. Like, let's open up something up. Supposedly that's what they're working on. So, but yeah, no, I just wanted to talk about that. But yeah, I know we could talk to you forever. We're close on time. We appreciate you being on and having these conversations with us. And we wanted to ask you one last thing. We usually ask people that are on if they're listening to any podcasts, if they're watching any shows or reading any book, any recommendations you want to give to the listeners of things that you are watching or into.
Man, well, right now I've been doing a lot of research. So I've been kind of binging things, which like I know this is old, so people are gonna be like, that is old, but like I just caught up on This Is Us. And I'm not the overly emotional kind of person, but I like the way it's structurally built. And so I've been watching that, and like over the season, I just got caught up. So I'm on the current season. I just love how they flow from past to present to future. I love that setup. So I've been really enjoying that and just getting like ideas. Like, okay, now I know how, you know, some things that I want to do myself, and it like that's a really good example of how to seamlessly do timeline in television. I love the way they do that.
Yeah, I watched the first 3 seasons and I was just constantly, I'm very emotional. I'm different. And I was just crying. I'm like, I stopped. And I want to get back into it, but I want to wait till it's over so I can binge the last 3 seasons. I did love it though. It was such a good show. I just kind of, I don't know. I was just kind of like, okay, I was in grad school. I was like, I can't keep crying. This is too much. But it is a very good story. And I really love the representation of, you know, Randall's family and him and his dynamic with his
I
wife.
hope they have a spin-off. I really love
Yes,
that.
I do. I really, really like them. And he's just phenomenal actor. I mean, and it's a good show, but yeah. I'm definitely gonna wait though, so I could finish because I can't go through this
This is the
emotional.
last season.
I know. As soon as it's done, I could
Okay.
binge it because I can't be emotional every week. I could just do it for one whole day, for a few hours, that'd be great, or how many so, but it was just a lot. It's so it's just it's a true drama. It really
Yeah,
is.
it took me like a week and a half to binge it. And like for me, the first season wasn't that emotional, but like two and three was like, oh Lord. Okay, you start kind of going through it. But like as it goes on, like it's still emotional, but like I was so invested more so in the storyline that I like kind of was like, oh man, okay. Yeah, so it's really cool. So I've been enjoying that just from a writer's aspect. I love the way that's written and how, like I said, they jump through. I'm a sci-fi buff. This is not sci-fi, but just being able to go through timelines, and things like that. I love that.
Are you going to watch Doctor Strange when it comes out?
Oh, I love Doctor Strange. I can't wait.
I don't know. I don't know. I have not, so for me, I'm not like a person who like I have to stumble upon it, right? Like even This Is Us, I just caught it this year. It's been out for how long, and I'm just now. People are like, wait, how did you miss that? And it's not that I missed it. I just wasn't, I'm not a tune in 8 o'clock every Thursday night. Like I'm not that person. So if I do come across it, it'll probably be one of those things where like, all right, I want to do some research, or I don't want to think about like life. I just want to watch TV, and so I'll binge something and get caught up. So yeah, I did Claws too. I think what is it, Claw or Claws with
Pause.
Niecy Nash? Yeah,
Yeah.
I recently binged that too. I thought it was gonna be better. It's not bad, but I thought it was gonna be better than it was. But it was one of those things too, like after a few episodes, then you kind of get sucked in. Like the first few episodes, I was like, yeah, I'm probably gonna turn this off. And then it got a little better. Some of the storylines were just like, that would never happen.
They were wild, though. Yeah.
Yeah, they were wild. Like, really? Like, come on, that would never happen. But yeah. I can't think of anything else right now. But like again, it's been for more research purposes because I just wanna, stay up on my writing and see what's out, what like people are watching and things like that. So I've been kind of using it for that purpose. I have not listened to any audio dramas lately. I think the last one was Apollyon by Faith McClan, Observer Picks. That's really, really good sci-fi. If you like sci-fi, that
Yeah,
was like the last.
she's dope. What they do over there is really phenomenal. Shout out to her. I watched I binge watch Ozark on Netflix. I don't know if anybody watches Ozark. I've been watching since season one, and it was really good. That's all I'm gonna say. I don't want to give any spoilers away. I watched that, and yeah, it was really good. That's what I did this week. And in between doing work and having to do other stuff, I was able to watch that. And I recently started listening to "It Takes a Woman" by Devon Franklin, which is a memoir of how he was raised by his mother and seven, well, his grandmother and six maternal aunts, great aunts. He lost his father at 9 years old. I did not know that about him. His father died at 36 years old. And it's a very authentic story. I felt like he was very vulnerable, very open about the pain and the trauma that they all endure with his father, being an alcoholic and dying so young, and him having these women raise him and give him different parts of them to kind of make him the man that he is, him and his other two brothers, because his mom was a single mother at a very young age of three boys. So I've been listening to that. I'm almost done. It's really, really great and inspiring. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm not listening to any podcasts in the last week or two. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. So yeah, check out Ozark. It takes a woman. It's an Audible original, and it's just audio for now. There's no book. It's an audio, and he has all his aunts, which they range from the age of 96 years old to 79 years old. His great aunts and his mother. So I thought that was interesting. His 96-year-old great aunt is still doing things at the church, still on a committee, and she's going strong. So that's a blessing. So I thought that was a good homage that he paid to the women in his life, and just shows that women can raise a man, and it takes a village and a village of love, which he has. So I thought it was pretty cool. And
I might have to look that
yeah, it's
That
pretty
sounds
good.
beautiful.
Yeah, I like Devon. I've always have. I was kind of, sad when him and Megan, you know, divorced. But I mean, it's a really good. I feel like I've listened to some of his interviews and I watched some of the stuff that he's done. I never really read any of his books, but I've seen a lot of his interviews and I've done some reading. I feel like listening to his voice and listening to his mother and his aunts talk about the grief of the loss of his dad, and it was their first time talking about it. He was able to record that. It was like impactful. So, and what about you? What you doing?
Oh, studying for finals. Besides that, just I've watched the I binge watched, what is it called? It's not The Ultimatum. It's Love is Blind. So I'm done with that. Because I just like to see reality TV shows. I like to see, like, different, the way the social experiments played out. And also, you know, I like to see the type of personalities that, you know, are using it for, like, clout as well. So it's just interesting to see. Yeah. Honestly, just that. And in terms of podcasts, I'm listening to one by Gordon Firemark, who's also going to be at ProbWork. So his is the Entertainment Law Update. So it's a podcast basically about just like the different, just the different ways people have like been using people's like intellectual property, how to get rights to certain things, like updates in specific cases as it pertains to entertainment law. So it's always interesting to like hear and see. Just in terms of that, you know, yeah, I was like, I just naturally like learning, oh, like who owns like a share of this? Like, oh, I didn't like think, you know, interesting things, fun things like, oh, like Michael Jackson, he at one point, you know, had ownership of the Beatles at one point, stuff like that. Like, I don't think that's a thing now. I think Paul McCartney has it back, but you know, it was interesting to learn at the time when it did happen. So.
Okay, pretty cool. So we're excited. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for being a part of this. Just I want you to let everybody know where they can follow you at, where they can find your stuff, and just anything that you want to talk about that you have up and coming that we are not privy to, that we can just find out and actually, you know, be there and support.
Everything is up and coming, so you'll just have to wait on it. I can be found on IG. They'll be able to see this, right? Our names. Oh, so yeah, you see the IG right there. Twitter is the same, except for the AY. So it's just Experience J with the letter J. And what else is there? TikTok is Experience J, same as IG. So right now, those are probably the places you can find me. I don't have anything else. Just like, if you follow me, I'll randomly post something and then I'll have something up and then you can support it. I'm not like a, just a person, like a, I guess I'm my own product placement kind of person. So when I have something, I'll post it. And yeah.
Perfect. Well, yeah, no, we're excited to have you at PodWork on May 21st. It's virtual from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. We have Experience J, podcast networks like Evergreen, ABF Creative, Anthony Frazier will be talking to him, Gordon Firemark. You know, he's going to be teaching us everything we need to know about copyright licensing. We have the Podcasters Alliance meetup, who's going to be having the networks meet up together, a lunch and lounge. It's going to be a fun time. We're super excited. Make sure that you guys are there. And you can find me at Denise Duran 82. That's my personal IG. And I'm also at Podcasters Unlimited and Podcasters of NJ and Pod Cypher on Instagram. Anne?
Thank you so much, Denise. If you ever want to get any updates as it pertains to PodCypher, Podcasters Unlimited, and our community Podcasters of New Jersey, please follow us at those pod handles. Also, please make sure you follow Experience J at X, Experience J on IG. You can follow me on Instagram, Anne.Renee_. I am Renee1443 on Twitter. I'm Ann Smith on Facebook. So yeah, definitely feel free to reach out. Yeah, it's always a pleasure talking to you ladies. I know we could talk to, each other for hours. I know it's getting late, but I do really appreciate every single one of you for being here, especially you experienced today. Thank you so much for joining the show and for being just an amazing presence on here. And I know that they're going to be super excited to see you at Podwork. And I'm just really excited for this event in total. May is always like jam-packed with a bunch of things going on, so it's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be good.
Thank you so
Thank you
much.
so
And
much
you,
for having
yes, and you guys have a
me.
good night. All right,
You
y'all
too.
take care.
Bye.
Bye.
PodCypher is not responsible for the actions, thoughts, views of its hosts, guests, listeners, and/or viewers.